At first, the spies wrote their letters on a blank sheet of paper, but that would never do. General Washington wrote, "This circumstance alone is sufficient to raise suspicions. A much better way is to write a letter in the Tory style with some mixture of family matters, and between the lines and on the remaining part of the sheet, communicate with the stain," meaning the invisible ink, "the intended intelligence." The culprit served faithfully to the end of the war and finally had the happiness of sending to the general the glorious news that the British army, the fleet, and the Tories were all evidently preparing to depart from the city, which they had held for 7 years. It was in the very year of his father's death, 1755, that Joseph Warren entered Harvard College, a vigorous, handsome lad of 14, noted even then for his spirit, courage, and resolution. How about that? He went to Harvard at 14 years old. Several of his class, one day, in the course of a frolic, in order to exclude him from the fun, barred the door so that he could not force it. Determined to join them, he went to the roof of the house, slid down by the spout, and sprang through the open window into the room. At that moment, the spout fell to the ground. "It has served my purpose," said the youth coolly. "You'd think that'd be a little nerve-wracking to climb down a pipe, and then as soon as you get off of it, it falls to the ground. Yikes." The records of the college show that he held respectable rank as a student, and as soon as he had graduated, he received an appointment which proves that he was held in high estimation in his native village. "Keep up a brave heart," he cried to a friend in passing. "They've begun it. That either party can do, and we will end it. That only one can do." Riding fast, he was soon in the thick of the melee and kept so close to the point of contact that a British musket ball struck a pin out of his hair close to one of his ears. Wherever the danger was greatest, there was Warren, now a soldier joining in the fight, now a surgeon binding up wounds, now a citizen cheering on his fellows. From this day, he made up his mind to perform his part in the coming contest as a soldier, not as a physician nor in any civil capacity. And accordingly, on the 14th of June, 1775, the Massachusetts legislature elected him second major general of the Massachusetts Army. Before he had received his commission occurred the Battle of Bunker Hill, June 17th. It was the fortune of both of these brothers to be held for a long time by the enemy as prisoners of war. The elder was captured upon the surrender of Charleston. The younger was desperately wounded at the Battle of Camden and was about to be transfixed by a bayonet when a British officer who had known him at college recognized his features and cried out in the nick of time, "Save Tom Pinckney!" The uplifted bayonet was withheld, and the wounded man was borne from the field a prisoner. After the peace, General C.C. Pinckney was a member of the convention which framed our Constitution. During the presidency of General Washington, he declined first a seat upon the bench of the Supreme Court,